Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, December 8th, 2015, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, the internet explodes over Trump advocating a moratorium on immigration from Muslim countries. But is it really about the First Amendment? None of the pundits had a problem when he said this about the internet.
Maybe in certain areas, closing that internet up in some way. Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
No, the liberals have no problem with controlling speech. And they want to control firearms as well. Huffington Post calls for the government to seize all firearms. Problem is, they have 100 million guns more to confiscate since Obama began pushing confiscation. And the founder of the Weather Channel talks about climate reality.
And now they're telling us we have records because of hundreds of a degree. You've got to be kidding.
All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new, groundbreaking, gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Well, Trump is doubling down on his very unpopular calls to shut the door for any Muslims who are trying to enter the United States. He has been rejecting this criticism, and he went on CNN's New Day show and basically said, "We're at war. Get it through your head." Trump stressed that his plan to prevent Muslims from entering the U.S. is temporary. He also fought back when he was questioned about whether he was proposing internment camps like the ones FDR created for the Japanese. Trump said, "I am not proposing that. This is a whole different thing." And, you know, frankly, Rand Paul actually tried to pass some legislation on this very thing a few weeks ago. Only about 10 senators voted for it. And his was a little bit more concise, but it's very similar to what's happening in France now. They're saying if you are going to Syria or Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, places like this where people are getting radicalized, well, you're not just going to be able to come and go as you please. There might need to be a little bit of a waiting period or some sort of a surveillance, because obviously tracking these people once they enter the country is not working. So, of course, we have Hillary Clinton panning Trump's ideas. She's calling them un-American and unconstitutional. And her top aide there, Huma Abedin, had some things to say as well.
"I'm a proud Muslim, but you don't have to share my faith to share my disgust." That was written by Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman, Huma Abedin, who penned the email in response to Donald Trump's recent proposition to impose a complete and total shutdown of Muslims entering the United States. You know, it was the FBI director, the head of counterterrorism, and Homeland Security who all said under oath that they cannot properly vet people coming in from Syria.
"We don't have the systems in place on the ground to collect information to vet. That would be the concern."
"Yes, I think that's the challenge we're all talking about, is that we can only query against that which we have collected.
You can't account for what you don't know, and that goes to the intelligence deficit that I think is embedded in your question."
"We may have somebody who comes to us and is simply not on our radar for any discernible reason. And there may also be the possibility that somebody decides to do something bad after they've been admitted through the process."
But let's take a look at Ms. Abedin. Back in 2012, five Republicans sent a letter to the Department of Homeland Security noting that three of her family members had very close ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. She was also intimately involved in Hillary Clinton's email scandal. And while she was at the State Department, Ms. Abedin helped our country cozy up to Sheikh Yusuf al-Kawardi, a promoter of jihadist terror. And one of her many accomplishments while at the State Department was helping destroy the country of Libya. I'm sure her and her Muslim Brotherhood friends are very proud of that achievement. Just imagine what she can do when her best pal, Hillary Clinton, gets into the White House. Rob Dew reporting for InfoWars.com.
Refugees are pouring into our great country from Syria. We don't even know who they are. They could be ISIS. They could be anybody. What's our president doing? Is he insane?
So obviously there have been some very disturbing ties with the Muslim Brotherhood for quite some time. Not really too sure what's going on there, but a lot of people have voiced their concern about it. And obviously some of the claims, some of the ideas that Donald Trump is throwing out there are pretty radical. But he's right. We have absolutely no idea who is coming in the country. We have no way to vet them. Now, Darren McBreen is joining me from the Situation Room with more on what is going on around the world.
Well, that's right. And I was just thinking how this is after Obama says that we should not be afraid of 3-month-old baby orphans entering the country. But we're going to take a look at the real immigration situation right now, because I think this is a sign of things to come. Here's what's going on in France right now. Now, this is a cell phone video that was taken from a Hungarian truck driver, took this video as he routinely drives through France. And by the way, this is just a couple of weeks before the Paris attacks. And he's driving past a Syrian refugee camp where there's about 18,000 refugees located on, right there on the side of the road. I want you to watch, Leanne, watch the behavior of these guys, all right? Yeah. I mean, they have...
They're very aggressive.
And they're all notice they're about from anywhere from 17 to about 35 years old. Total lack of respect for the motorist on the highways.
Yeah,
and
completely dangerous what's happening here.
Well, and here they are. They're throwing rocks. They're throwing bottles at the trucks. At one point in the video, one of the guys even runs to the side of the truck and bends his side mirror.
But where are all the women and children?
Yeah, where's the 3-month-old orphans? Mm-hmm. I don't notice that. I don't see them there.
Yeah.
But hey, look, these are ignorant thugs, and they're throwing up gang signs, and they're acting like the real subhuman animals that they are. And this is not a very good way to win the hearts and minds of people who live in the country that they are immigrating to. So I think that this is what's coming to America.
Right. Well, absolutely. And you know, we reported about last week about the people there on the border in Macedonia holding up that banner that said open or die. That's your choice. Let us in or we're going to kill you.
So, and they were throwing rocks and sticks and bottles at the police over there as well.
And I can understand their frustration. Obviously, they've just traveled all this way and now the borders are closed. So then they're frustrated. But that's not, you don't say open or die. So now you're basically just putting fear into people. And then, of course, not knowing who's going to be entering the country as well. We have obviously details coming out daily about what was going on with the shooter as well as his family. We know that they have found in the mother's car, they've got shooting targets, GoPro packaging, hammer, vice grips. They were found in her car. Also, the shooter's mother was active in a U.S. branch pro-caliphate Islamic group. So this is, you know, this is one of these groups that's sort of a side group that's maybe not part of the main mosque that's there. You know, but we really have no idea what's going on, not to mention this mysterious bank deposit. And Darren, I know that you said that this sort of reminded you about what was happening right after 9/11, some things that we found out as well.
Well, yeah, it's very interesting that her husband, Saeed Farouk, right, that somehow he managed to get a very large deposit in his bank account. And this is only a couple weeks before the massacre, right? And he had a sudden and mysterious deposit of $28,500 in his bank account. And it reminds me of the a similar deposit in the weeks before 9/11 when the lead hijacker, Mohammed Atta, he received $100,000 in his account from the head of the Pakistani ISI, General Ahmed. And here's an article from The Guardian. Ahmed, who's the paymaster for the hijackers, was actually in Washington on 9/11. He had a series of pre-9/11 top-level meetings with the White House, the Pentagon, and the National Security Council, and with George Tenet, who was the head of the CIA at the time. So
wow.
General Ahmed, who was the head of the Pakistani ISI, their intelligence program, just like the America's CIA, he is buddy-buddy with George Tenet, and he's also buddy-buddy with Muhammad Atta.
Right. Oh, wow. Well, Darren, thank you. That's very interesting. So hopefully we'll be able to, you know, get some more clues as this story unfolds. Now, CNN actually came out to ask Trump, are you a fascist, with some of the things that he has been saying. Trump turns around and he says, you know what, we need a certain toughness or we're not going to have a country left. And so, you know, I just kind of wanted to call him out on that because some of the things that Trump is proposing are very fascist indeed. Donald Trump is saying in order to fight this terrorism, he thinks he's going to call up Bill Gates to close up the internet. He actually had this to say.
We're losing a lot of people because of the internet, and we have to do something. We have to go see Bill Gates and a lot of different people that really understand what's happening. We have to talk to them, maybe in certain areas, closing that internet up in some way. Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
So there you go. First Amendment. Who really cares about that? Now, Google's Eric Schmidt is also saying the same thing. He says that he wants to use Google's algorithms to censor the internet for hate speech. This was in an op-ed for the New York Times. Schmidt said, it's our responsibility to demonstrate that stability and free expression go hand in hand. So we should build tools to help de-escalate tensions on social media, sort of like spell checkers, but for hate and harassment. Now, Alex Jones has been saying this for years, that this is what's going to start happening. Obviously, those algorithms know what you're going to type before you even finish the sentence. And so this is the type of thing policing the internet now. Of course, this is echoed by Hillary Clinton, who also called on Silicon Valley to disrupt ISIL. She also is wanting to have these tech workers do what they can to police the internet as well. You'll recall some feminists went before the United Nations a month or so ago calling for the exact same thing because they didn't like some of the bullying that was going on the internet. They didn't like it when people disagreed with their opinion or called them stupid. So these are the type of things that they want to police the internet for. So obviously, yeah, you want to stop terrorism, especially since they say radicalization happens via social media. But we can see that this is going to be farther, much further reaching than just that. Now, obviously, this hate speech that they're wanting to patrol has nothing to do with liberals or progressives when they say that they want to kill people with ideas that counter theirs. This is what's happening. A flood of Twitterers are now calling to kill Donald Trump. They're calling for his assassination, basically. This is the liberal reaction to the Republican frontrunner's comments on Muslim immigration.
Obama boldly stated that the federal government has the Syrian refugee crisis under control.
We've hardened our defenses from airports to financial centers to other critical infrastructure. Intelligence and law enforcement agencies have disrupted countless plots here and overseas and worked around the clock to keep us safe. Our military and counterterrorism professionals have relentlessly pursued terrorist networks overseas, disrupting safe havens in several different countries, killing Osama bin Laden.
But Obama didn't happen to mention that Representative Stephen Lynch, Democrat of Massachusetts, disclosed that a congressional investigation recently found that at least 72 people working at the Department of Homeland Security also were on the terror watch list. What would have been a scandal 30 years ago was barely mentioned today. Enter Donald Trump.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on.
Soon after that statement, the liberal reactionaries on Twitter replied with fervor, even going so far as to call for Trump's assassination. Tweets included, "Can we kill Trump? Now he wants to impede Muslims from entering the U.S. Someone really needs to kill Trump, ASAP. Somebody kill Trump. I genuinely mean it. And I'd rather murder Trump and rot in jail than let my kid grow up in a world with Trump as president." Fresh off of backtracking her statements disregarding the First Amendment, it appears Attorney General Loretta Lynch would find all of this call to violent action at the very least predicating. Of course, she won't bat an eye because Trump is on the wrong team. The lamestream media began to weigh in with their bought and paid for tactics.
You have leaders from your own party in the key states of Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. You have galvanized political rivals all saying this is un-American and extreme and that it makes you a fascist. How do you respond?
Well, I totally disagree. You take a look, Chris, at what's going on, and it is disgraceful. First of all, you know, people quickly forget World Trade Center 1, World Trade Center number 2.
Not to be outdone, the flustered Republican field was all aglow with slap-in-the-face collective mentality. Politico writes, Jeb Bush fired back on Twitter saying Donald Trump is unhinged. His policy proposals are not serious. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie said, this is the kind of thing that people say when they have no experience and don't know what they're talking about. The billionaire GOP frontrunner, Trump, argued that what I'm doing is no different than FDR, likening his proposal to policies implemented by Roosevelt against people of Japanese, German, and Italian descent during World War II. And that's just it. You can't cover up an invasion of 72% male Syrian refugees into foreign lands, where women are being raped at epidemic levels and jihad attacks are brandishing a foothold in regularity in Western culture. Wake up and smell the reality. We are under attack, courtesy of our do-nothing, say-nothing commandeer-in-chief. How many suicide bombings on American soil are the leftist lamestream media bobbleheads prepared to spin before Americans have to bail them out of hell on earth, fomented by their own PC rhetoric and global masters' talking points? John Bound for InfoWars.com.
Now coming up, I'm going to be speaking with someone who actually attended the same mosque as the shooter. But first, I wanted to just show you this story that someone sent me earlier on Twitter. It's about a blind mystic who reportedly foretold about 9/11. She predicted the Boxing Day tsunami, Fukushima nuclear spill, as well as the birth of ISIS. But she made some pretty dire predictions for 2016 and beyond. It's her, this is Baba Vanga, and she predicted a great Muslim war. And she foretells of a 2016 invasion of Europe by Muslim extremists. She predicted it would begin with the Arab Spring in 2010, play out in Syria, and that Muslims would use chemical warfare against Europeans, culminating in the establishment of a caliphate by 2043. So she also predicted the election of the first African-American president, Barack Obama, as the 44th president, but she said it would be the last U.S. president of the United States. So that'll be pretty interesting if we do indeed end up voting in a dictator. So stick around.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity, Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here lately, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. John Coleman, founder of the Weather Channel on cable television. Coleman was also the original weathercaster on the ABC Network morning program, Good Morning America. For many years, he was a full professional member of the American Meteorological Society. He's a meteorologist, obviously, and was once honored as Broadcast Meteorologist of the Year. Coleman had a 61-year career in television, extending from the campaign from Champaign, Illinois, to Milwaukee, Chicago, New York City. And Coleman has become very active in his efforts to counter the global warming climate change frenzy. His studies of the climate data convinced him that there is no significant man-made global warming, and his beloved science of meteorology has been hijacked by a cadre of politicians and environmentalists and the scientists who they generously fund to provide scientific papers supporting their failed theory.
When I was a kid, I'm 81 years old. When I was a kid, a thermometer was a little stick of wood with a little tube of mercury attached to it. And the best you could possibly read the temperature was within 1 or 2 degrees. I mean, its accuracy was pretty questionable. And now they're telling us we have records because of hundredths of a degree. You've got to be kidding. If you look at the pattern over, let's say, the last 1,000 years, temperatures have gone up and down. We had the medieval warm period. We had the little ice age. And you see that little squiggle on the extreme right-hand side of your screen, the last little red squiggle on this chart? That's the warming of the 20th century and of the 21st century. It is nothing. It is insignificant. And it is far less than the medieval warm period. And they're telling us it's the warmest Earth has ever been. You know why that is? They've manipulated the data.
When you say to people, what's wrong with warming? And most people have to stop and think for a long time. And almost invariably, they'll say, well, sea level's going to rise. That's why Gore made it such a big part of his movie, because he knew that was a fundamental concern.
Well, and that's something they've been putting in textbooks.
Oh, yes. For years. Yeah. And of course, again, what you're playing to is people's fears. And of course, then you can aggravate that by saying, well, most of the world's population live along the shorelines and, you know, in the delta areas of the world. And so you can exploit that, as Gore did so very well.
Well, they do whatever they can. It's It's a screaming outrage. This is our federal government, NOAA, the National Weather Service, at its National Data Climate Center down in Charleston, South Carolina. These people have manipulated the temperatures four times. And in the process, they have made the past cooler, so the present is comparatively warmer, only by a degree or two, but enough for them to scream and holler about global warming.
It is never useful to propose or take any action based on a lie, because when the lie gets found out, and you then say to people, but we want to be the champions of the environment, people are going to turn around and say, you lied to us about global warming. You might be lying to us about everything else. We're not going to listen to you anymore. So lying as a basis for action on the environment is not the way forward. The truth is that in the Western world, we have largely put the environment to rights.
So I heard about Al Gore being elected to the U.S. Senate after he wrote a book about climate change. And I said to the man who worked for me, a man named Joe DeLeo, who's a certified consulting meteorologist of great reputation, and he worked with me as my scientist helper when I was doing Good Morning America and then went with me to the Weather Channel. I said to Joe, I said, what's this all about? I'm very skeptical because I saw this whole ice age thing. And he said, let's research it. And we began to research. And the more and more we researched in the early ages of computers, before the internet was easy, we finally came to the real facts that how it all happened and what started Al Gore. And I'm speaking to you today from San Diego, and just a few miles from me is where the modern problem began, at the Scripps Oceanographic Institution. And there, a man named Roger Revelle and a man named Tom Seuss had come up with a study that said, yes, global warming was being caused by carbon dioxide. It was a small study. It wasn't a big deal, but it started something back in the smoggy 50s. But we've cleaned up the atmosphere hugely since then with great technology and science. But never mind, that started something. And Roger Revelle then went to Harvard. He left the Scripps Oceanographic Institute in anger, went to Harvard and started the Center for Population Studies. But he talked about this problem with carbon dioxide in his class. And in the front row of his very first class, who was the freshman student? Al Gore.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to find a way of making Western countries do what the UN tells them, what this new global government tells them. The court, at least to start with anyway, is not supposed to have any power over individuals. They wouldn't dare. Frankly, they would be very stupid if they tried to come after me, for instance, and say, you are a prominent skeptic, therefore we're going to put you on trial for your life because of your skepticism, because they know perfectly well that in a courtroom where I can cross-examine them when they come out with their drivel, and I can say, where is your evidence for it? And I can then take their evidence apart, show how it's been tampered with, etc. They know that any judge worth his salt looking at the evidence is going to find in our favor, just as we did when we took Al Gore's wretched movie to court.
The estimates of how much CO2 humans produce are produced by the IPCC. In other words, they're the source of it. Well, where do they get their information? Well, the different countries tell them, oh, we're burning this much fossil fuel. How do you know that? When the cap and trade thing first started, they suddenly discovered Germany were cheating because they wanted to get more cap and trade credits. So they were overestimating the amount of CO2 that they were. They also found Turkey was doing the same thing. So, I mean, I simply don't trust any UN statistics. So the IPCC figures of how much CO2 humans are producing, the latest figure they gave was 7.5 gigatons. Well, a gigaton is a billion tons, so it sounds like a lot, 7.5 billion tons. But we produce that much. But the first thing you've got to do is say, okay, but in our crops that we grow, in the trees that we plant, we remove 50% of what we produce. So the actual, if we take their numbers, the actual amount that we're putting into the atmosphere is half of that.
But if you look at the long-term temperatures and CO2 of planet Earth as determined by the ice cores dug near Antarctica, near the South Pole, you find that the CO2 has been up and down and it tends to follow temperatures, not vice versa. In other words, CO2 doesn't drive the temperatures up. The temperatures cause the CO2 to
increase. Sure, and in Al Gore's film, this was found in British court, for those that don't know, that he had flipped, basically, where he has temperature following CO2.
The CO2 issue, in terms of the way that they play it, the way that they put it out, when you put it into the natural context of what we know about CO2, just for example, Roy Spencer out of the University of Alabama at Huntsville just published a very interesting paper showing that the CO2, well, we knew this before, but the ocean's ability to absorb or release CO2 is a function of its temperature. The colder the water is, the more CO2 it can absorb, which is an interesting question about Arctic waters. But what he showed was that as the Pacific Ocean temperatures vary, so the level of CO2 at Mauna Loa varies. But they're not attributing it to that. They're attributing it to, well, it's going up at Mauna Loa because of human contribution to the atmosphere. And so just that paper alone blows the whole thing out of the water.
The Federal Reserve is a private banking cartel.
Yeah, Fed is a sometimes very independent organization.
What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
The Federal Reserve is an independent agency. There is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
They print our money and then loan it to us at interest. The IRS is their collection agency.
So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter.
Jeff Duncan says he saw IRS special agents using semi-automatic rifles at a gun range. Now he wants answers to why the agency needs that type of firepower.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bankers in charge.
Know your history and you will know your enemy. Infowars.com.
I'm not gonna sit here and take it anymore.
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime.
So it's almost like an oil from.
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants, and with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
It oozes out. So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well. and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war.
Joining me now is Hamid Adli. Now, Hamid attends the mosque that was once attended by the shooter, Saeed Farooq. And he joins me today to update us on sort of the climate of the mosque there, as well as within the Muslim community in San Bernardino, California. And also, he wanted to offer up sort of a counter voice in this debate rather than sort of the radical Islamic extremists that, you know, we're sort of starting to see there in the mainstream media. So, Hamid, thank you so much for coming on to the show and, you know, giving us your perspective. So tell me a little bit about this mosque that you all have attended and, you know, what's the climate like there now?
Well, this mosque was established about 20 years ago. And it's a mosque created in an area back then. There wasn't a lot of mosques here to create a place where Muslims can go and worship. And I went there from a child, from ever since third grade until now, which I'm 30 years old. And the climate there, I'd say right now, is a little on edge, a little tense, because there's been a lot of like threats against the mosque. Like people have been leaving messages on the phone and just been, you know, mm-hmm. with the whole media frenzy. It was kind of eye opening for myself to see, you know, such a thing going on right now.
Right. Yeah. And we actually interviewed a friend of yours who was acquainted with the shooter. They weren't, you know, close friends, but obviously through the mosque there, they were able to meet. He helped him throw a party, I guess, or arrange some type of party for his marriage. And he actually said that the mosque goers were held at gunpoint at one point in this. So, you know, obviously there's sort of this prejudice that this radicalization must come from the mosques. So, what is happening there with, like, I guess the leadership? What sort of tone are they taking? What are the religious leaders saying about Islamic extremism?
Well, obviously, you know, so an act like this, you know, we don't really consider this, this guy to be, you know, Muslim. Obviously, this guy was an isolated case, a mental head case. This guy had some mental illness. And the leadership, the management, is trying to explain to the public and to the media. They had a press conference last Friday. That look, you know, we are not like this person. You know, our religion is a religion of peace. You know, we're taught, you know, not to do these type of things, obviously. But, you know, the leadership is trying to explain to the public that really doesn't understand too much about Islam. Look, you know, these are the teachings of Islam, and we do not support these type of behavior and a type of person like this. This is obviously radical. This person was an isolated case, and it doesn't represent, you know, the Muslims that live in the United States.
Right. Well, and I can understand that because obviously you have people trying to lump all gun owners in when there's an incident, something like that, which is certainly not fair, especially considering there's like more than a billion Muslims in the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is why it's a little bit difficult for those of us sort of on the outside. For instance, there was that hashtag that went viral this past weekend, with the attempted attack there in London. The hashtag "You ain't no Muslim, bruv" kind of went viral. And it was put out there as a show of solidarity. It was supposed to be, you know, this time to just show, you know, this person does not represent us. This is not, you know, what our religion is about. But then they had people, Islamic commentators basically saying, hey, well, you can't say that because that is illegal under Sharia law to say that someone has left the religion. Like, what is it? Takfir?
Takfir, Sharia, those type of things.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, you're going to get, you know, like I said, there's different types of Muslims in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like, there's different types of people. So you might get one segment, you know, it's like a spectrum, you know, mm-hmm. you might have people on this side of the spectrum that might be a little cuckoo. And then you got people on this side of the spectrum, which are, you know, complete, you know, peaceful and, you know, American loving, just, you know, want freedom. But you know, you're going to get people that obviously, you know, might be a scholar or might be on one spectrum, just like the political spectrum of different groups, you know, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Tea Party. You're going to get, you know, one type of Muslim scholar say one thing, and then you might have a different, you know, Muslims that are like in the pop culture of, you know, say, hey, you ain't no Muslim, bro. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, this is just something, I think that's more of a cultural, social, you know, interaction that you're seeing there.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, what I could think, obviously these are younger people, you know, you're an American citizen. So I, you know, I'm assuming that you kind of have a little bit of a different ideology than someone who maybe was raised in another country under a completely different type of government and stuff like that. So, you know, I can see where that kind of comes in. Now, what about, you know, I know a lot of people are going to be saying this in the comment section because they always do whenever, you know, we try to talk to people about, you know, get all sides of the story. And they say that, Muslims are permitted to lie to non-believers if it furthers, Islam. So there's two types of, lies, I guess, that are permitted, in certain circumstances. And they say it's to gain the trust of non-believers in order to draw out their vulnerability and defeat them. So people are always like, we're just not going to believe you, whatever you say. Yeah. What about that?
You know, something like that, you know, you have to look at when something like that was revealed. A lot of these things you look at were revealed in a time of, you know, war or a time of battle like 1,000 years ago. You know, it might have been revealed, you know, in a political climate at a time when a certain sect or group was trying to impose on another group, or possibly scholars at a certain time were saying this. So, you know, I'd have to go and look. I'm not too familiar with that specific.
Well, this is something that I know gets brought up a lot, particularly with, you know, now with ISIS saying that they're going to be sending in refugees, or sending in people along with the refugees to sort of exploit that crisis. And they can lie and say they're Syrian, or they can lie in this because it's all part of like this global jihad. So that's something that concerns a lot of people because they just, you know, they don't know if this is part of the whole plan to kind of play on people's, compassion, or understanding or whatever. They're, you know, make them vulnerable, which, you know, obviously I know you can't speak for a billion people out there, but I know there are a lot of people that would just, you know, they would kind of throw that out there. So how do you feel like with, Donald Trump's recent comments coming out saying, you know, recent Pew polls say 51% of American Muslims here believe that Sharia law should be allowed rather than, you know, the constitutional law. And also that, was it about 20-something percent believe that killing Americans on U.S. soil is okay as part of the global jihad. Does that astonish you to hear that that's what's going on, or?
That's bad. And I'd like to look at the who was polled in that. Again, it might've been a segment, you know, a certain radical segment, but no, that's something that we do not believe. I was taught, number one, not to lie. And, you know, number two, you do not kill people in a foreign land that you are living. And the law of that land is supreme, is what I was taught. So, you know, like you were saying before, you know, it's like the whole gun owner thing and, you know, what Trump was saying, you know, it is a constitutional right to bear arms, but I like to say it's also a constitutional right, you know, the freedom of religion. Mm-hmm. So you know, that's what I would say to Trump and his particular comments that he's making. Of course, he's entitled to his opinion. And, you know, when you're, you know, when I go on the internet, you know, I see a lot of negative documentaries and things about Muslims, you know, showing a certain segment of the Muslims, you know, they take a camera and they go to a protest in, like, you know, the Middle East somewhere where people are angry about something, and they record them, and then they try to they take that and generalize all Muslims. And someone, you know, sitting in the Midwest or in some state that has never met a Muslim will see that, and constantly seeing this message, this negative message. Obviously, I can understand where they're coming from, because they're constantly seeing this negative image of this guy that's being angry, and he looks like he wants to, you know, do something.
Right. But, well, it's just like, you know, people who have never actually met a black person in real life, and all they know is what they see in rap videos or whatever. And so they have a certain image of that culture. So I completely agree with you. I think that is, you know, why it is so important. Find out after the break what Hamid says the Muslim community thinks about being asked to police themselves in order to counter this radicalization.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Well, pancaking almost like a precision implosion.
It's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before, when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
All non-essential personnel, move away from that collapse.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
And why wearing a Hillary for President t-shirt might get you punched in the face.
They thought it said Hillary for President. He said, I was seconds away from sending my bar back over here to punch you in the face. Since you're wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, you don't have to buy drinks here. Everything's on the house.
Hillary for President! Hillary's not surging, I tell you that. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. Thank you.
There you have it. Donald Trump endorses Hillary for Prison. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt at the InfoWars store. And on the back, it says, legalize freedom. Show your disapproval of Hillary by buying your t-shirt today.
But what she's done is criminal.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
So just very quickly, I know that you wanted to give out your email address, and your main position with coming here is because you want to reach the youth. And I think that that's so important, because for whatever reason, young people are the ones that are being radicalized. And I guess it is because of social media.
Yes. Definitely. You know, I've heard of this whole social media thing and how they're reaching out. And what I'd like to say is that, you know, I went to that mosque that this guy went to. And, you know, you look at me, okay, I'm just a regular person. You know, I love this country. I love Alex Jones. I love the Alex Jones Show. I've been a fan for years. And I'd like the American public and people that are watching this, you know, to look carefully. And when you see Muslims on the street in your town, in your city, you know, please think twice. You know, these are regular people just living a regular 9-to-5 job, just living a regular life. That doesn't mean you saw a documentary, the person on the street or that child on the street is going to go do something. Okay, we're just normal people, and just, you know, just be educated and think twice before saying something or doing something rash, because that's not what America was built on. America was built on values and freedom and the right to bear arms, the right to freedom of religion. I mean, this is a great country. This is the greatest country in the history of mankind. In what country can you go and a peasant from another country or a person that has nothing come here and become a brain surgeon?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'd like to just, from the bottom of my heart, you know, just say, look, you know, we're sorry for what happened here, and we pray for the victims. Please do not generalize us or stereotype us, especially, you know, I'm worried about the youth. I'm worried about the young Muslims that are growing up, you know, in this country and the kind of hatred that they're going to be receiving now.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, you know, also, too, with that, just very quickly, guys, sorry I'm going over here, but just with that, we have, you know, people saying that it was a Christmas party that offended them, or perhaps they were making fun of his beard, things that are these triggers that if you are living here in America, this is, you're going to just, it's the freedom of speech. Things are going to happen that are going to upset you, but we're kind of seeing this turn now where you're not even allowed to say anything that is going to offend somebody, almost justifying the fact that these people went out and massacred a Christmas party because they were upset by something that the guy posted on Facebook.
Yeah, I did hear about that. I did hear, you know, he got an argument with somebody at the party over religion. One of the reporters at the news conference personally told me that the argument happened 2 weeks prior. So I don't know if you guys knew that, but that's one of the reporters there told me. But yeah, like Alex Jones likes to say, you know, we're living in a very politically correct environment. A lot of the word games that are being played, but you know, one of the things, you know, I believe in, obviously, is freedom of speech. So, yeah, I mean, if someone said that to him, he should not take that. This guy, Farouk, this crazy mentally ill person, should not take that as a reason to go and massacre innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong. And you know, if you have an opinion and you have something to say, you know, say it. You know, that's what I say. This is a freedom of speech. This is one of the rights given to all of us in this country. And, yeah, I mean, that he shouldn't have taken it that extreme.
Right.
Obviously.
Well, absolutely.
Mental head case.
And so I know, you know, just my last question that I wanted to say, obviously we do have, NPR saying some Muslim Americans are irritated by Obama's call for them to root out extremism. Obviously, yes, you know, everyone can't be the police there of their community and this and that. But how can your community there see instances like this? Because the gentleman that we interviewed said that he had no idea that this guy had these radical views. So how are you all able to maybe spot radicalization, or what could you even do to answer Obama's call?
Correct. Yeah, this is an issue in the wide sense in the Muslim community in the United States. And I believe this is something that's going to be addressed soon. And yeah, you know, definitely I believe that something, a system should be created within the Muslim community that, you know, we are basically policing ourselves. So, you know, me, I can spot, you know, this type of person or give me a profile and say, okay, if a person is, you know, being extreme or he's making crazy comments, maybe we should go and approach him as Muslims, modern Muslims, and talk to him and see what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there should be some type of vetting process to prevent these type of crazy innocent, you know, massacres. So yeah, this is definitely an issue within the Muslim community, and if we can partner with groups that can help and create some type of peaceful system where we can actually police ourselves and, you know, prevent these things from happening, I'm all for it.
Right.
So, you know, to prevent innocent people from dying from massacres, to find out, you know, if somebody's going to do something like this, you know, number one, stop them. You know, me personally, I would have MMA'd the guy. Number three, you know, obviously you want to report the proper authorities if the guy's walking outside looking angry, you know, with an AK-47 or something, you know, obviously. But, you know, definitely there should be some type of system. And this is a larger issue within the Muslim community, that something like this, there should be a system or process within the Muslim community in America to vet these type of flag and vet these type of things before they happen.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Hamid Adli, thank you so much for your time, and we'll be talking with you again. Well, and of course, after every crisis, we can't let it go to waste. So they have been doubling down on calls for gun control. But now Huffington Post is actually taking it to the next level. They're calling for the government to outright seize all firearms. Joining me now is Jakari Jackson. Jakari, this is just insane that they continue to just up the ante. It's not going to happen. Since Obama became president, over 100 million guns have been sold in the U.S. It's not going to happen.
Because every time we have a mass shooting, people go out and buy firearms. It's not because they're planning mass shootings. It's because they understand that people are trying to take away their firearms, whether it be magazine restrictions or things for the supposed assault rifle, most of which are not assault rifles. But I want to talk about this article from Steve Watson that came out last week when he addressed the 355 supposed mass shootings that happened in the United States of America. Now, this is a stat that's been repeated over and over again within the media, mm-hmm. but nobody took the time to fact check and actually see where this thing came from. The number actually came from Reddit. Is a group of activists on there who just said there are 355 mass shootings, even though if you go check the FBI's own numbers, it's not 355, it's 21.
Right, because what constitutes a mass shooting? And they just say anything.
Yeah, so they just pretty much make up their own statistics. And there's another thing we found on Reddit. One of our guys showed it to me earlier today when they were comparing and contrasting alcohol laws to those of gun laws. And they just had a few things that they were making reference to. They said if alcohol was regulated the same way as firearms do, I just have a few things here. They said banning every alcoholic drink over 35 proof, that would be something that you would have to do to make the laws fair. Banning mixed drinks that contain two or more alcoholic ingredients, that would be like an assault weapons ban. And of course, the gun show loopholes they always refer to. They said you have to go to someplace like a 7-Eleven or a liquor store to have the clerk verify your identification before you even handed your friend a glass of wine or a beer at a football game or something like that.
Wow.
So it just goes all the way through it. But I have a few statistics here that are actual statistics from the FBI and the CDC talking about various things. And one of them is the Uniform Crime Report from 2014. Firearm deaths have not only gone down every year, they've gone down in pretty much every category, including those of rifles. Now, I want everybody to understand when they calculate rifles, that includes bolt action rifles, semi-automatic rifles, fully automatic rifles. Mm-hmm. And I know those things are very glamorized on TV. You hear the most about somebody getting shot with a AK-47 or AR-15 as opposed to somebody getting shot with a pistol or, you know, a pump action shotgun. But you can see from FBI's own numbers that they are down.
Right.
And of course, blunt objects like hammers and baseball bats, they still kill more people than AK-47s.
And if you take away people's guns, if they want to actually commit a crime, they're going to stab you. They're going to build pipe bombs.
Yes.
They're already saying ISIS is using scientists to figure out how to produce chemical weapons that they can use on Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to find a way if you're a bad person. You don't want to talk about, these suicide pills and things like that, how they're affecting the youth. And they don't want to talk about putting armed guards in schools, mm-hmm. but they don't worry about it because they're making bulletproof blankets now so you can.
Yeah,
I
heard about that.
And that's what they're going
to
do.
And to wrap this thing completely up, talking about the compare and contrast between the alcohol deaths and also the firearm deaths, the CDC has listed in 2013 there were over 10,000 people killed by drunk drivers. Now, that's probably not property damage. That's not people who were hurt or injured in some other way. But that's 10,000 people killed by drunk drivers. But when you look at the firearm statistics, it's 8,000 people killed by total firearms.
Right.
More people are killed by drunk drivers.
And a lot of those are suicides.
Yeah. And more people are killed by drunk drivers than are killed by firearms. And people always want to jump up, let's ban this, let's ban that, while they're drinking a glass of wine and having a beer.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying we should ban alcohol, but you should have that same type of mentality. Like, okay, it's horrible that all these people died in these alcohol-related tragedies, but I didn't do that. It's the same thing with the firearm. It's not something I did or any law-abiding citizen did, these tragedies.
Well, Jakari Jackson, thank you so much for bringing some facts into this debate. I know that there's a lot of people that really do not appreciate that. It goes against their agenda. We certainly appreciate you being in here. All right, well, thank you. That's it for the show tonight. We'll see you here again tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams a piece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these And it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.